flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, Stephen A. Smith isn't always right, but I tell you what, he was right about that. Nobody would have thought to trade Luka Doncic until, of course, now, everybody's thinking about it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into WEEI. Dan Ball with you. Always a pleasure to be blessed by driving in and listening to the Sunday Mass with Reverend Christian Arcand, who I would never say to his face, but I worked with Christian for about 6 weeks on the afternoon show, and fantastic guy, great, very welcoming presence when I got here to EEI. So great to listen to him, and he had a lot to talk about in a trade that took the sports world by storm at a level that I truly cannot remember. And just a peek behind the curtain, I am not a morning person at all, as I say this in the morning. But normally when we have these weekend morning shifts, I'll do a lot of my show prep and note-taking and things like that during the course of the night before, and then, you know, wake up, have a cup of coffee, make sure I didn't miss anything, and then come into the studio and yammer to you all for however many hours. And by the way, we are on 11 to 2 the morning into the afternoon, and then KJ and Lyons will take you 2 to 6 as we move through this Sunday without football. So not only are we greeted by 6 more weeks of winter, we're also greeted by no more football and temperatures in the high teens and low 20s. So we are experiencing peak sad seasonal affective disorder, if you have it out there. But regardless, right as I'm about to call it a night last night, scrolling through Twitter because, you know, impossible to turn the brain off at that time of night, notifications start popping up. Ding, 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 from Twitter when Shams Charania comes through in his first season taking over for Woj. So we're all still getting used to, in the basketball world, not having the Woj bomb to look forward to. I don't know if it's a Shams something or other. I don't think they want to copy the bomb term. That's retired with Adrian Wojnarowski. Shams tweets something so outrageous at 12:12 a.m. Technically today, that was the timestamp of the tweet, that the reaction that I saw, you saw, and anybody who was attached to social media at that time of night probably saw was, oh, poor Shams, he got hacked. I mean, that was the knee-jerk reaction from more people than it wasn't, because it was such an outrageous thing to read within the realm of professional sports. To be falling asleep Just after a Lakers game, by the way, as I was taking notes, I was watching Lakers and Knicks, and poor OG Anunoby, by the way. Hope he's okay. Those non-contact injuries are always the scary ones. But watching that game, you know, just kind of closing down the night, two of the three biggest franchises, brands in the NBA, you could argue. Other than the Celtics, I think those two are the two. They may even be the two, depending on what area of the country you're from. Then this drops, and immediately, as soon as Shams follows up, quote tweets his own tweet and says, "This is very much real," people still didn't believe it. There were still people that looked at it and went, "Wow, this hacker went to such a length to try to fool us into thinking that Luka Doncic, a top three player in the NBA for the last handful of years." They went so far to try to trick us that they even included Utah, just, you know, throwing draft picks around, somehow getting themselves into the fray. But it's true. And already in the now less than 12 hours that have elapsed, 11 hours that have elapsed since the trade has gone down, it's already being mentioned among the biggest trades in NBA history. Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, players of that ilk being moved. And it's even being pondered in conversations about the biggest trades in sports history. And it just came down from the clouds with maybe the biggest element to all of this, which is there were no rumors. Did anybody know that Luka Doncic was on the trade block in any capacity? I certainly didn't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm a expert beyond my years in the NBA. That kind of comes on the hockey realm. But I feel like doing what we do and just being sports fans in general, when a generational talent is in any way, shape, or form maybe on the outs with a franchise, we start to hear something, but there was nothing. And it calls to mind a number of different options for why this came to be. For a team that went to the NBA Finals, mind you. And when I opened up Twitter in the studio this morning, I was greeted by a tweet from Bill Simmons, and it was the reposting of the video after the Mavericks won the Western Conference Championship, where Luka was in the hallway with a couple of team personnel. He was congratulating people. He had a beer in his left hand. I'm watching it on replay right now. And then another member of the team staff comes up, takes the can away from Luka, kind of gives him a disappointed dad look, and takes it away. And then you could kind of see the puss on his face. Good morning, Jacob Lasner. How are you?
I'm great, Dan. How about you?
I'm doing great. What do you got?
So that was actually the Mavericks vice president who took the beer away from Luka Doncic
okay.
in that video.
Okay, good call on that. And I feel like that also kind of helps this conspiracy that's floating around, because when you get no rumors and then all of a sudden this massive thing comes down, you have to look at this from an organizational perspective and go, what went wrong here? What went wrong where you have this generational star who's only 25 years old, has a year on his contract after this year, and then starts to get into the, you know, the team option, player option area. He makes $43 million this year, 45 or basically 46 next year, and then as a player option for the 26-27 season. Ironically enough, the centerpiece of the deal that's coming back to this, to the Mavericks from the Lakers, in Anthony Davis, he is signed for more money and for more years. So Los Angeles is not only getting a top three player in the league, they're also technically getting a discount when you just look at player to player. Now, there are other elements that are involved in this deal, but I mean, are there really a 29 first, Max Christie, Anthony Davis? The Mavericks got fleeced, which makes you wonder, why'd you rush it? When you're talking about trading the face of a franchise, the face of the NBA, and fully admitting this run to the finals that we had last year, this buildup of Doncic and Porzingis, then to Doncic and Irving, then you add Klay Thompson. You've had a lot of turnover in the musical chairs around Luka to try to make this work. You got right to the brink last year.
Then you got your doors blown off by the best team in the NBA a season ago and still one of the most talented teams, probably the most talented team in the Boston Celtics. It didn't work. You happen to have just gone through a sale of the majority stake of your franchise in late 2023, still went to the finals, and now all of this happens. I don't know. I just wonder what we don't know about the relationship between Luka and any number of different factors. Luka and his teammates, Luka and the coaching staff, Luka in the front office. Because if everybody's got a big old smile on their face, you're not making this deal. Even if maybe you don't believe that this year is going to be the year. Just say, for example, you're 26-23. You're eighth in the Western Conference right now. You're a hot week away from being out of the play-in round and just into a playoff seed. Now, you're a cold week away from falling out of it. But you're still right in the thick of things in the West. And with the play-in round and the break that is given to the teams that don't play in it, you know, we've seen some hangovers from that. There's no reason that a team with the experience that Dallas has, just going to a finals, can't win a play-in round, get into a seven-game series with maybe Oklahoma City's a bad example, but with one of the top seeds in the Western Conference, and do something special. Yet, this had to happen, and you had to accept the, quite frankly, slop that you got in return for one of the league's best players. So I think that this trade, there are a million and one ways that we can go. And I want to get your thoughts as well. And I heard Christian interacting with a bunch of you guys driving around. So 617-779-7937 is the phone number and is the text line as well. What's your biggest takeaway from this trade? Is your biggest takeaway on the side of the Mavericks with Luka? Is it the Lakers? Is it the NBA? Is there a Celtics tie-in? Because I do think that there are two Celtics tie-ins that come to mind. First, I think it gives a little bit more significance for what the Celtics were able to do in the finals. Not to say that they, you know, they really had to work as hard as maybe they would have against other teams to beat the Dallas Mavericks. But if the Mavericks win a title last year, say they upset the Boston Celtics in the finals, are we having the same conversation? I don't believe that we are. So I think that that puts a little bit more significance on what the Celtics were able to do winning in the finals last year. That's one. Here is two, and I'm not trying to incite the masses by bringing up this idea. But the timing is interesting with all of this because Mark Cuban went through the sale in December of 2023. What's the second biggest story floating around the Celtics right now other than their play on the court? It's the impending sale of the Celtics. Everybody knows this is not a secret. This is not a hot take. Everybody knows that the Celtics have some financial decisions to make in addition to the sale being made. Whoever is the new owner is going to have to essentially choose, are we trading one of our two big stars or are we trading some of our second-tier stars on this roster? That's a Jrue Holiday. If you could get somebody to take him, Kristaps Porzingis. What do you do with Derek White? You're going to have to make decisions because of the luxury tax implications with just how talented your roster is. So a sale goes down in Dallas. And just over a year, 13 months or so later, your biggest superstar is traded out of town. It makes me wonder, and it makes me nervous. Quite honestly, as a Celtics fan, it makes me nervous because I wonder if that is foreshadowing for at least conversations that could be had on the heels of the Grosbeck selling their stake in the Boston Celtics. Now, as long as they don't sell it to Fenway Sports Group, it's not going to be as drastic as maybe they would make it, or at least I feel like it would be. But again, there are ties. There's at least a correlation between what happened there and what could potentially be going down. All that to say this, I still believe that there's more to this story that we don't know about Luka specifically. I don't think it's just a financial decision. It's not just a taking care of your newly acquired asset decision in Dallas. I think in Boston, I think that would be that would be the main reason why you'd trade. I don't know, just throw a name out there. If you had to make a decision between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I think you're trading Jaylen Brown, and it would be financially based. I don't think it would have anything to do. You're trading your vocal leader and a guy that though fans may not love as much as other players on the roster, fans still certainly appreciate and understand and recognize the kind of talent that he has. So there are Celtics implications in, you know, a couple steps away from being a direct tie between the two sides, as they didn't make the trade. But I'll tell you who loves this, besides the Lakers, because they just absolutely fleeced the Dallas Mavericks in getting a player like Luka. The Lakers love this, obviously, because LeBron's candle is burning down to the end of the wick. He only has so much time left. He got a chance to play with his son, and that was really the last thing that he wanted to check off of his resume, at least as far as we know. The Lakers love this because they go from having a face of the franchise in Kobe Bryant into a face of the franchise in LeBron James, and now a face of the franchise in Luka Doncic. You know who else loves this? And we do have to take a break so we can continue this conversation with your calls at 617-779-7937 on the other side. The NBA loves this, and it's been a conversation that's been brewing this season as we've watched ratings and interest levels kind of waver a bit in the NBA, especially when you measure them up against the behemoth that is the NFL. The NBA loves the result of this trade. And we'll talk more about that on the other side. Plus, a lot to get to today. The Boston Bruins winners over the New York Rangers. So the retool, the breakup, the blow it up, whatever fans are or are not calling for. Maybe a stay of execution for an extra day. David Pastrnak is red hot coming off of leading the NHL in points in the month of January with 24. We'll get to the latest on the Bruins. More rumors floating about the Red Sox, the Patriots, and Drake May back in the news. Finally getting to hear from Drake May. God, where has he been other than on vacation getting engaged? All that is on the table today, taking you up until 2 o'clock. KJ and Lyons will have you 2 to 6. After that, we got plenty more to get to, plus your calls. But before any of that, here is Jacob Last.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
And what's trending? I tell you what, the more that we hear about this landscape-altering trade in the NBA, the less I think we understand. The less it makes sense, but Potentially comments from Nico Harrison, general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. Maybe color inside the lines a bit. Back here on WEEI, thanks for being with us. 617-779-7937 is the phone number to call, also to text. Somebody from the 407 suggesting that the Celtics trade Jaylen Brown for Cooper Flagg right now. Right now, I don't know how much Duke would get in return, but right now you can join us on the phone, either call or text, and we'll be sure to get to you. I believe that defense wins championships. I believe that getting an all defensive center and an all NBA player with a defensive mindset gives us a better chance. We're built to win now and in the future. First of all, going last sentence first. We're built to win now? You really believe that? Or are you just telling me that to try to get out of the circus that is going to befall the Dallas Mavericks after that circus-caliber trade? So who's left for the Mavericks? Oh, old friend Kyrie Irving, not to be confused with former WEEI employee Kyrie Thompson, who is on the final year of his contract, then has a player option for next season. So no guarantees that he'll be back. He may try to test the market. Who knows? Klay Thompson, 3-year contract in the mid-teens in terms of money. P.J. Washington, Quentin Grimes, part of that. Obviously, Markieff Morris now gone. So, you know, it's a group that gains in Anthony Davis, but I don't think you got better. Maybe you got harder to play against, which, depending on the identity that you're going for coaching in front office, maybe that's a win that comes as part of this trade. You touted in multiple different sentences in that answer that you wanted to get better defensively. And while you said, oh, we gained these defensive stalwarts onto our roster and it makes us better now and better in the future, and I guess technically it does because you received a 2029 first-round pick. Okay, so it'll make you better in the future 4 years from now, 5 years from now, six. Great, sick. So what you imply by saying that we got better defensively is that we don't like the way that Luka plays defense. And that, and Celtics fans can understand this from watching a series against the Mavericks, is dead on accurate and obvious when you watch the Dallas Mavericks. The effort, the execution, the going the extra mile on the defensive end to make a play for Luka Doncic doesn't necessarily come baked into the pie with this player, but you take it because, again, he's been in the MVP voting every year of his career, except for his rookie year when he won Rookie of the Year. Finished fourth in 1920, sixth in 2021, then fifth, then eighth, then third. And he led the NBA, won the scoring title last season, as a matter of fact, with just under 34 points a game. Now, it's a little interesting. I would posit that despite winning the scoring title, he didn't win an MVP. And I think that's because one-dimensional is the wrong term, but it's certainly clear what Luka Doncic's goal is every time he gets the ball in his hands. It's to score. It's not to distribute. Not to grab rebounds, certainly not to get back and hustle on defense. It's to score. And so if you build a proper roster around that player of guys that can pick up the defensive slack, guys that can distribute, guys that can rebound, do all of the other stuff that comes with being a complete basketball player, then you should be able to build a championship caliber team. And the Mavericks took a number of halfway decent swings at it in this era. But it didn't work. And it seems as though the aspects of the game that you lose with Luka were starting to outweigh what you gain. Yes, he's an incredible scorer. Yes, he takes the attention of the best defenders on the floor towards him, maybe opening up opportunities for other guys like Kyrie and Klay on the floor to score more. I think those all come with that player. He's incredible. But there are certain effort-related things that just don't come with him, that he's just not gonna do. And it seems like that just started to wear thin. And this is something that we may never know. or certainly I don't think that we'll know until he retires. And then maybe at some point he goes on one of those player-hosted podcasts like we see all the time in the NFL and gives the tell-all story about what happened. Or maybe you get it from somebody else in the room. Klay Thompson is closer to retiring than not. Maybe eventually we get it from him after telling all the glory day stories about Golden State and all the injuries he dealt with and coming back. Then he goes down to Dallas and witnesses and plays sidecar to arguably the biggest trade in NBA history. Maybe we get the side from him. There's something that we don't know. There's something that happened. There's something that tipped the balance so far in the other direction that you decided we need to get on the phone in the wee hours of Saturday into Sunday, just as Punxsutawney Phil is about to see his shadow or not, and we need to change the landscape of the NBA. And the NBA loves this trade because we've had an ongoing conversation just in NBA fan circles or sport fan circles that kind of follow the NBA but also have the context of other sports of, well, why are ratings dwindling and do people really like the current product of the NBA? And if not, why not? And I know that there's going to be a big portion of the NBA fan base that goes, well, there's too many three-pointers. There's not enough defense, not enough rebounding, not enough physicality. Maybe we should make a dunk 3 points. Maybe we should make blocks a point. Maybe we should do this, that, the other thing. Change the scoring, change the landscape, change all this. Try to incentivize guys actually playing inside the arc. And though I would tend to agree to a certain extent with some of those observations about the current state of the NBA, you don't have your biggest stars playing in your biggest situations, or in your biggest markets, I should say. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, huge stars playing on one of your biggest teams. That's great, but those guys aren't vocal stars. Those guys aren't celebrities as much as they are stars. That's what made the era of the NBA, the LeBron, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, that era of the NBA that's kind of now filtering out, is that these guys were personalities. They went viral on social media. They were on TV. They had shoe brands. They had Taco Tuesday. They had the fashion, all these kind of things that made them pillars within the culture at large, not just athletes in the NBA. And you don't have that. That's right. That's right. You don't even have sound bites like that floating around anymore. There isn't a Luka Doncic or something that's floating around there, at least not to my knowledge. But you don't have that as much. Jason Tatum, unbelievable, all-world player. There isn't that same level of celebrity around him. Great player, pretty quiet player, and that's indicative of a lot of your stars right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo, all-world player, barely hear from him. Nikola Jokic, one of the best player of a generation, one of the best and most well-rounded players we've seen since Wilt. Seems like he actively hates the fact that he has to make bajillions of dollars and play in the NBA. Luka is different. There's an edge, there is a sarcasm, there's a personality around Luka that I don't know if other stars have, and I also don't know if it was being maximized as much in Dallas. The NBA getting Luka to Los Angeles and knowing that one of their top three brands is going to have a vocal, incredibly skilled athlete on that team, assuming for years and years and years to come, that's something the NBA will perceive as a big victory. Will it translate to a complete rating shift and a tonal shift? No, because honestly, a lot of Luka's game is what a lot of fans would point to and say is wrong with the NBA, which is he doesn't do anything other than score. So that doesn't fix the perception of the fact that the NBA's game is broken, but it certainly does inject a well-known, controversial, thought-provoking, conversation-provoking star into one of your biggest markets that was kind of looking for a future. If LeBron retires after this year and the Los Angeles Lakers were led by Anthony Davis and he was the face of the franchise next year, that's not a win for the NBA. That's meh, it's fine. People will still watch, but they're not going to care. A seismic league-altering trade leads to a perennial MVP candidate and a lightning rod now playing on the Los Angeles Lakers. The league loves this. The league loves this. No, I don't think they had anything to do with the trade. I think this is all, this has all to do with things behind the Dallas Mavericks doors that we may never know. But it just so happens that he lands in Los Angeles. And now your bridge from Kobe to LeBron to blank, that gap has been bridged. It's just, it's like Christmas Day on February 2nd. For the NBA and those in charge with making sure that the NBA remains financially viable and in the conversation. And there are just so many different avenues that come from a trade that we see once in a generation, once a decade, maybe in sports. Do you get this kind of seismic shift via trade? And I just can't wrap my head around the fact that we had no idea. Unless I missed something that was floating in the deep pockets of NBA Twitter. But Jacob, I want to go to you for a moment. You've now heard Christian talk about this. You've heard me talk about this. You've seen all the national talking heads. What's your takeaway when you see a trade of this kind of magnitude? What kind of jumps to mind to you? What's the first thing that came to mind when you saw it?
If conditioning is that big of an issue for Luka Doncic, I think that this is going to wake him up. I think him playing in front of the LA crowd and being kind of one of the faces of the NBA, even more so now that he's on such a big market team, it's going to really wake him up. And I think that conditioning won't even be an issue going forward because he's going to be more motivated to succeed and earn that supermax extension that the Lakers can afford. I think that also the Mavericks weren't going to be able to pay him, and it didn't seem like he wanted to stay in Dallas as well. So I think that all those reasons combined led to this trade. But again, it's just so out of the blue.
Right. Yeah. No. Well put across the board. It's there are a million and one different ways that you can go, and it's fun to let your brain wander on trades like this. Well, was it conditioning? Was it defense? Is there what's the relationship? I mean, when Kyrie Irving originally got dealt down to Dallas from Brooklyn, and they put that personality with Luka's personality, I remember looking at it and going, great players in a vacuum, a lot of complementary skills that go with each other. Seems like a powder keg, just from what we know here in Boston. And at the time I was in New York, so we were covering the Knicks and a little bit of the Nets. And when I was there, it was prime in the middle of the Nets, KD, Harden, and Irving disaster in the post-COVID world. And, you know, Kyrie got in trouble with the stuff that he was posting on Twitter and then would take time off, and he'd play in away games, but he couldn't play in home games because, you know, the different stuff with what was going on in New York. And so, you know, we had a front row seat at that time to all of the idiosyncrasies that come with Kyrie Irving. And then he got dealt down to play with Luka. And I remember looking at it and going, this one seems to have a limited shelf life. And looking at that, I still figured, okay, so it's a limited shelf life for Kyrie. At some point, these two are going to butt heads to the point where it's going to go wrong. And honestly, it didn't really seem like that was an issue. It was way more explosive when Kyrie was in Brooklyn and Boston than it seemed like it was in Dallas. It almost seemed like both sides kind of found their I don't know, basketball soulmate, or at least a partner that they believe, hey, we can work together. If we just pull on the rope in the same direction, we can do something pretty special here. And they almost did. I still remember looking at it at the time and going, I don't know if this one's going to last. But I certainly didn't think that the casualty at any point was going to be Luka. But that is the state of sports, and that is the state of the NBA. It's very rare to see any player spend their entire career, any superstar player spend their entire career somewhere at this point. You have guys that are putting up pretty good legacies right now. That's Tatum in Boston. That's Giannis out in Milwaukee. And that was Luka in Dallas, but that is no longer the case as the NBA landscape and the sports landscape has been shook. A text from the 603, ESPN only talks about LeBron and Luka. They are going to organically explode now. ESPN will never talk about another athlete, team, or sport again, and that is pretty funny. Is it possible the Mavs are planning another trade like the Celtics? I think there was supposed to be like the Celtics in 2007 when they traded for Ray Allen, and at first it didn't make sense. That's a really interesting thought that could be coming, where you make such a seismic deal, and we were all left scratching our heads, and then you did it again, and all of a sudden, you completely reshaped your franchise and created this monster. Almost out of thin air around one player that you had in house. In that case, it was Paul Pierce. I guess in this case, it's Kyrie, who's the one guy there. So it's Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, and blank. That's a very interesting element to all of this. Is there another shoe that's going to drop? And for the sake of Mavericks fans, I hope there is, because otherwise, this one just feels incomplete. Like, if you're grading the roster where it stands right now in Dallas, big ol' I for incomplete. It's not an F or a D. But if we sit here for a couple of weeks or to the end of the season and this is just what it is, oh boy, man, I don't feel like you got nearly enough for the kind of player that you're losing. But there are things that we certainly don't know. And a good correction, and I do want to offer a correction. Luka does rack up rebound and assist numbers that I was not aware of. I just look at the scoring is so aggressive. I look at the scoring is so impressive, and the defense is so non-existent. I am impressed to see that the hustle stats, the accumulated hustle stats for Luka in via rebounds are at the level they are. So he does average just under or just about 8.5 rebounds and 8.5 assists per game. So he does put up stats in addition to the scoring, but the defense and, like Jacob mentioned a few moments ago, the conditioning are issues, and I don't know, it just doesn't seem to come at quite the most important spots when you're getting that big rebound or when you're dishing the ball off in a spot where you should. But whatever, feel free to join the conversation. 617-779-7937. Your biggest takeaway from the Luka Doncic trade: do you see any connection between the Celtics and the upcoming sale? As the sports landscape continues to change with this deal, plenty more storylines that are coming out and that we hope are going to come out in conjunction with this. We'll hit a quick break, and we're back with more on the other side here on WEEI. How about Jason Tatum? Since 2020... via Real Sports on Twitter, Jason Tatum has made the most go-ahead shots in the final 5 seconds of a game since 2020. What a guy. What a pro. And man, what a video shot. Jake, did you see that one? You see the video that was posted on Twitter? Somebody right along the sidelines caught the game-winning shot against the Pelicans, and then the game returns to him, and he just has this stone-cold killer look on his face. You see that video?
Yeah, it was inspirational.
I was
saying that to Arcand earlier.
Yeah, it makes you want to take the day on. Thanks for joining us here on WEEI. Catching up on some texts. Two-word text from the 617. Jimmy Butler, which I think is a fascinating way that Dallas could go if you want to buy into the model that they're not just trading Luka, they're trying to create a more dynamic, well-rounded trio, big three, which, I mean, we've seen in Boston, you saw it in Miami, you saw it in Brooklyn, and Kyrie Irving was a part of that, where you strive for that big three. We've seen that in the past. Now, the Celtics have their big two and just a bunch of incredible players that kind of go along with it. Another question coming from the 845. Dallas is coming out like Bill Belichick saying defense wins championships, and that's why they traded for Anthony Davis. Do you buy that rationale? I think that that's an element to this. I think that's a convenient truth to hide what the real truth is. You're not lying and saying that you're getting better defensively by bringing in who you did simply because you're trading Luka. So the ceiling is the floor when it comes to the defensive effort that you get from that player. So I think it's true. I think from a PR spin for Dallas, that makes a ton of sense. your biggest complaints, and I saw this floating around too. It was a report that came back about the fact that Luka was up to like 270 pounds or something like that. And so the conditioning part that Jacob mentioned last segment is a huge part of it. Conditioning, defense, effort, all that. So from a PR perspective, the easy spin is, well, we're bringing in guys that are going to work hard. We're bringing in defenders, and that's how we're going to get better. That's the only positive that you can spin from this, because you are paying more for Anthony Davis's contract than you're paying for Luka's, because he's a max guy. So that's one. And you're moving on from a generational scorer, a guy that literally led the NBA in points per game last year. No, he was not an MVP. He was a finalist, though, and he's been top five. We just went through the numbers a moment ago, multiple times in his career, and he's 25. He's 25. Who knows what he's going to be over the next 10, 15 years? And you're moving on from that. So, yes, I buy that rationale, because that's the only rationale that you can publicly state. No, it's not the biggest reason. I'm fully convinced that it's not, but you have to tell your fans something. You can't simply trade a player of that magnitude, go on social media and say, you know, put up the graphic that every team does when they trade a player and go, we'd like to thank Luka for his years of service to Dallas and the fans. We wish you luck in your future endeavors in Los Angeles. No, you can't just hide behind a graphic on social media. You're going to be asked questions, and you're going to continue to be asked questions about that. And it appears that Dallas is not in the business as of yet of dragging their now former superstar through the mud. So you have to say something else. So yes, I believe that is an element to this in two ways. It's an element in what makes your roster better right now. You are a better defensive team today than you were at, 11:30 p.m. last night, right as this was percolating, but not yet announced. You're a better defensive team now. So that's one side of it. And the other side is, I think that's what kind of led to a deterioration of the relationship between the player and the team, is probably continuous demands of, hey man, slim down. Like, we're going to give you a plan. We're going to give you a diet. We're going to give you a workout regimen. Follow this in the off season. Follow this on your off days when you're not at the facility. Don't do this, that, the other thing. Instead, do this, that, the other thing.
No!
What are you knowing about back there?
That's what Luka said to that.
I don't know. I feel like his mouth had to be full when he was screaming no. He continued to maybe not even scream no in the face of the front office, but show no. Actions speak louder than words, and his actions were, I'm not going to listen. I will go out and I will be able to score, but I'll also show some signs of wearing down late in games, late in the season. Like, that's been evident at certain points when he's not at his peak. It was evidence in the finals when you have a team like the Celtics that just sends waves and waves. And last year they were so efficient defensively with their switches and not allowing him to get open and pestering him all game long. He'd wear down, and that was, and it led to other injuries. And I know that that was floating around too, but one kind of begets the other. The better that you're conditioned, the better chance you have to avoid all the injuries. And I think it's just a cumulative effect of things that's happened between a team and a player for 6-7 seasons in a row that just leads to a breaking point. And what we still don't know to this point is what that breaking point was. So the Celtics take on the Philadelphia 76ers today, 6 o'clock tip. A couple days ago, it's now 2 days old, it was on Friday, we celebrated the third anniversary of the Energy is About to Shift Day from Jaylen Brown, where Jaylen Brown went on Twitter and said on January 31st, 2022, the energy is about to shift. Since that tweet, these numbers are stupid. The Celtics have gone 220-86. They've made 3 Eastern Conference finals. They've made 2 finals, and they've won a championship. The energy certainly did shift after Jaylen Brown tweeted that. Was that the only reason? No. Fascinating timing, though. Jason Tatum put up a picture from that game-winning shot against New Orleans on Friday. And tweeted it with one word. It was him, kind of like staring into the crowd, and the crowd was yelling back. Obviously, I think they were cheering, or most of them were cheering, or at least kind of hyping him up when that happened. But it just said mood, and it was him, stoic, stone-faced, looking at a crowd that was yelling and screaming in, you know, good, bad, whatever directions. But it just said mood, and I don't know. It was interesting. It was interesting timing. There's a lot of chatter going on, and I mean, people with microphones like myself are often catalysts for this. But there's chatter of, oh, this team, you know, this team, despite having the same players, they're not as good. They're not motivated. They're not working as hard. They're not playing for four quarters. I mean, the fourth quarter scoring differentials would certainly suggest that maybe they're losing a little bit of focus. But I thought it was an interesting, coming off of an anniversary of a significant social media post from a Celtics player, I just thought it was interesting timing to have a photo of you being Jason Tatum, just stoic and stone-faced and whatever, looking at a crowd that's yelling and screaming and saying a million things and just saying mood. So Tatum certainly seems to be recognizing the conversation that's going on around the team, but he keeps on trucking, and he certainly hit a big shot against New Orleans. Ironic, though, in that the season series against New Orleans, you have those the 2-1 possession games against a god-awful team, who, by the way, you got to feel for them at a certain point. DeJounte Murray goes down, another one of those non-contact injuries. Season-ending ruptured right Achilles tendon during the game on Friday. So things go from bad to worse for New Orleans. Those were two tough games. I did feel a little bit of a difference where I thought New Orleans brought a pretty good pace and a pretty good energy. Obviously, you'd like to see the Celtics win by a lot more against that team no matter what, but the game they had played previous, you know, a week or two ago, whatever it was, kind of felt like had the energy of a loss but ended up being a win. This one didn't quite have that same energy. It felt more like a win that you worked for. And Brown hits a huge shot with 30 seconds left, and Tatum hits the game winner with a, you know, second or two remaining. So you take the wins that you get. It's a win for the Boston Celtics. They turn around and play the Philadelphia 76ers, coming off of the 3-year anniversary of the energy will shift day, and 220-86, three Eastern Conference Finals appearances and a final. I guess it certainly did. We'll transition to the ice in hour number two. Boston Bruins coming off of a win, a hat trick for David Pastrnak, who has had an incredible run in the month of January into the month of February. But are your fears, are your worries quelled about the Bruins just because they're able to win a couple of games like this? Curious to hear your thoughts at 617-779-7937. Do you trust Don Sweeney? Do you trust Cam Neely? Where are you on the temperature gauge on the Bruins? We'll talk about them next.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.